Daven Mahimamrita class, and we're discussing the wonderful glories of Vrindavan. We're discussing the Vrindavan Briksha Mahima, the glories of the trees of Vrindavan, and offering obeisances to the trees. In chapter 3, verse 25 through 27, we should, of course, do this also, not only read about it. Because we go to great devotees, we see some great devotee, and we assume great devotee means he has two eyes and two ears and a nose and tilak and all that. And that's okay, that's fine, and there are many great devotees in human form. But what this book is trying to point out to us, and what the acharyas are repeatedly reminding us, is that great devotees appear in all kinds of forms. Moving forms, non-moving forms, tree forms, bird forms. So we have to be receptive and willing to expand our vision, because we tend to limit our conceptions and think, no, he can't be a devotee. That dog, how can that dog, you're saying Buck the dog. Why are you saying Buck the dog? How can a dog be a devotee? He's not a human being. He's not an ISKCON. So do you know, you look at a dog, do you know if he's a great devotee? So Sivananda's saying he could see Buck the dog. He travels Buck the dog. He fed Buck the dog and he brought him to Puri to have darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And he had darshan of Lord Chaitanya, then he attained prema and got liberated. Gave up his dog's body because all his karma was finished. When your karma is finished, your body's over. The karma for this body. It runs and then start again. Some more of the karma, the aparabdha karma becomes parabdha. So dogs can be great devotees. Bhakta tree, bhakta dog, bhakta galari. So here, by hearing these verses, maybe we can broaden our vision, then respond by acting accordingly. 25 through 27. Let's see what is in store here. It's about obeisances to the trees. Pushpat pushpa phaladi sampad akhilashcharya maha maduri. Puram dura nirasta duka duritad udvar dham manat shavi sandrananda sudar no udita mahadvi pendu brindavane brindam sundara sakinam anudinam vande munindra nutam. Prabhupada Saraswati says, I regularly offer my obeisances to the beautiful trees of Vrindavan, which are like rising moons on a great island in the midst of an ocean of bliss, which are enriched with fruits and flowers, which are most wonderful, which are just like a current of sweet nectar, which remove all kinds of distress, and whose effulgence is ever increasing. So we see this additional translation here, what it has to say here. Every day I bow before the trees, that wonderful with a wealth of blossoming flowers and fruits, flooded with sweetness, far from sins and suffering, their splendor increasing and glorified by the King of Sages. They're standing in Vrindavan, which is like a great moon island risen from the nectar ocean of intense bliss. Well, the first point is that he's offering obeisances to the trees. And he's identifying them as merciful entities. They're beautiful and they're merciful. Sundaram and Kripam. Beauty and mercy, very nice combinations. Love above power, mercy above justice. So love means beauty. Love above power, mercy above justice. So he's saying these trees are very beautiful. What makes them beautiful? Is that they have so many fruits and flowers. This is the beauty of a tree, the fruits and flowers. Oh, look at that beautiful tree. What's so beautiful? It's just, there's no leaves. There's no flowers. It's winter time. It's Russia. The trees look like they're dead. There's not a leaf on the tree. Just standing there in hibernation waiting for spring. But no, the beauty is the fruits and the flowers. And moreover, they're so beautiful and so fragrant. They're beautiful to look at and they're fragrant to smell. And what to speak of taste, those delightful, charming, delightful fruits of Vrindavan. The combination of this beauty and taste creates a stream of sweet nectar. That's what he's saying. And then, but they're merciful. They're not only beautiful. Many people are beautiful, but not merciful. The trees are very beautiful, laden with heavy succulent fruits and bursting with brilliantly shining, colorful flowers. But they're also merciful. What kind of mercy? They take away misery. They removed all kinds of distress. Puram dura nirasta dukkha duritad. Mahamaduri. Ascharya Mahamaduri. They're Mahamaduri. Their great, vast sweetness is Ascharya. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's inconceivable. This is their sampad. Their sampad, their wealth is pushpa, full, and fruits and flowers. Pushpa phal adi, beginning. That's only the beginning. It's the beginning. Is their flowers and their fruits. Is their sampad, their wealth. Nakila ascharya mahamaduri. They're so sweet. So they're very sweet person, very sweet devotees. Very, very sweet devotees and laden. Devotees also laden. What do they say? When a tree is heavily laden with fruits, then what does it do?
It bows down.
Bows down, bends down. So when someone is heavily laden with the 26 qualities of a devotee, then he naturally becomes humble and bows down. And then because he's full of the fruits, bhushanam, sarabhushanam. Sarabhushanam, the ornaments of a devotee, the fruits of a devotee are his devotional qualities, his bhakti gun, and that makes him beautiful. And then he may be a beautiful bhajananandi, laden with so many fruits and flowers of devotional attributes and characteristics. But then if he preaches, then he's beautiful and merciful. So these trees are preaching because they're removing all kinds of distress. Are you in distress? Maybe. Most people are in distress one way or another. So here's some friends. These are friends of the distressed, friends of the poor, the trees of Vrindavan. I remember there used to be posters, to be signboards, what we call billboards. You call them hoardings, I think. In Bombay, you call them hoardings or something like that. Hoardings refers to misers that hoard their wealth. In America, someone who's hoarding their wealth is called a miser, hoarding his wealth, keeping it all to himself, not distributing it, not even spending it on himself. But in America, they call it billboards for some reason. It's a board that tells you the day's bill. At any rate, they, with the parent teachers associations in America, they have some groups like this, PTO. Parent Teachers Organization. I think India is copycatting that also. And they have their meetings and their functions to increase relationships between parents and students and parents and children. So they take out what is called public service announcements. And I remember distinctly one that came to mind, which I've spoken before. It says, shows a mother, and she's in one corner of the billboard, she's stirring some dal. In the other corner, the kid is playing with his toys in the room. And the title of the billboard says, "Have you hugged your kid today?" Have you hugged your kid today? And the implication is that people are becoming so impersonal, nirvishesh shunyavad, and the women work, and the kids go to nursery school and day school and private school and every school and all school and no, and you know, everything but love school. The kids go to every kind of school except love school. So that's the billboard. Have you hugged a tree today? Because we know we're in distress every day. That's obvious. You know, I don't have to take out a hoarding or billboard. Are you in distress today? And everyone will say, yeah. why you take a signboard to tell me that? What else is new? So this is what he's doing. Let's look at 26. Pushpashreni vikasa hasa yutaya gochoru vakshojaya samshlishta pulakali manitalata vadvap yaho satama Krishna dhyana san muhu pulakino madviko darashago natmanam cha param cha gya janata ime vrindatavi shakina. The transcendental trees of Vrindavan are embraced by their wives, the form of the creepers. And these transcendental trees are surrounded by bees, which resemble the gopis, blossoming. Now, so he's saying that there's all these bees hovering around the trees trying to drink the honey nectar from the flowers and bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. He's saying they resemble gopis. Well, how is it they resemble gopis? Then he explains. Because blooming flowers resemble the gopis' smiles, and the flower clusters on the trees resemble the breasts of the gopis, and the shedding of honey by the flowers of these trees resembles the shedding of the gopis' tears when they see Krishna enter the forest. The trees completely forget themselves while being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and so do the gopis. It's actually explained that when Krishna leaves the forest in the afternoon at Aparan Lila 3:36 to 6, then he returns to Nandagaon, then the trees become immersed in viraha bhav. The trees and flowers and plants and creepers of Vrindavan, they enter into the deep states of anguish and separation from Krishna. Oh, when is he coming back again? The flowers close and the leaves curl up, and the branches kind of hang down in sadness, and they can't bear the whole night waiting for Krishna to come back again with the coward boys and his whole retinue of playful chums the next day. And then when Krishna comes out in the morning to enter the forest and his leelas during Purvan Leela from 8:24 in the morning to 11:36, and he returns there, then Vrindadevi goes ahead of him, Krishna, with her, and she and her assistant Vandevis and other Sakhi Mandris helping her in arranging the leelas. And she says, hey, listen, hey trees, wake up, don't be so sad, look lively. Come on, dress up now, dress up, oh trees, oh, get dressed up. Guess who's coming? Shyam's coming to your forest very soon. Put on your fresh clothes. In other words, the smile, the flowers and fruits are her clothes and the creepers are her dress. So she's telling the trees, wake up, and your sad day, the sad, hard times, sad times of separation over. Soon Shyam will touch you. He'll touch your creepers with his fingers, and he'll glance at your flowers with his eyes, and he'll smell your flowers and relish your fruits, and he'll touch your twigs and branches. You'll be so thrilled and happy by his association and touch. Come on, wake up, get ready. It's like if someone is pining in separation from their husband who went to China for 3 weeks, and he's not supposed to be back for 4 weeks, and then suddenly his brother comes or his sister comes and says, oh, guess what? Your husband's coming home. He just called in the airport. By surprise, he got 1 week off early. He's coming back. Then the wife will be so excited. Oh, he's coming. And then she'll get dressed and bathed and ornamented and put on all lipstick, fresh, everything looks so fresh and sweet and attractive to greet her husband, who she hasn't seen for some time. and feeling some sadness of separation. So the trees are, they forget themselves while being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Because when he leaves the forest, then all they have is their thoughts. They don't have sakshat darshan, but they have their thoughts, and then they forget everything. And the gopis are the same way. You see that when Krishna is in Nandagaon, and he hasn't left yet for cowherding or Gocharan Leela, and the sakis are in their houses, they start singing about Krishna in this Venugita. They sing about the glories of his flute, and they start singing bhajans, and so many songs glorifying Krishna's pastimes and activities, and his guna, his qualities, and his rupam, his beautiful form. And they become lost. They forget themselves. They forget themselves so much that they're moving here and there in the house, and they're making roti and stoking the fires and doing their household domestic chores in the morning time, but they become so much lost in forgetfulness as they deeply meet Krishna in their consciousness. And when they sit down in front of the churning pot, they have this big clay kumbha, mitti kumbha, churning pot, and they put the churning rod in there. And then they take a bucket, they go to the well, and they get some water, they pull up some water from the well, and they fill the churning pot with water, and they sit down and they start churning it. Oh, Krishna, kaniya, no. And they've forgotten everything, they're lost, they're vismita and brahm, they're bewildered and lost, and they're simply singing about Krishna, they've forgotten everything, even they're churning water instead of yogurt. they're thinking that this is yogurt, and they can't see, they can't understand, and their mother-in-law's come along and say, "Ah, Hari, you Pagalini, what are you doing? Look what you're doing. Are you just singing this, that, ha, ha, this, that, singing along? Don't you pay attention to what you're doing? Nonsense. This daughter-in-law. Although embraced by their vine wives, whose smiles are blooming flowers, whose large breasts are flower clusters, whose hairs, erect with joy, are black bees, the trees of Vrindavan forest shedding tears of Madhvika honey, and the hairs of their bodies erect because of the nectar of meditation on Krishna, unaware either of themselves or others." That's a little roundabout way of saying things. He's a good editor. But this is another glorification of the trees. And then there's text 27, is part of this section here. Yesha madhaya divyam kusama kishalayam to mita prema murti gora shamo kishorvati chaturatamo vini chudhari kritva poshpam nirmaya geham shayanam mata phalam prashastya sidani pitva kurvate divya kelim ta uru taru vara bhanti brindavaniya. All glories to the trees of Vrindavan, for the fair and dark complexion divine young couple of Vrindavan, who are the personifications of ecstatic love. They, Radha and Krishna, they decorate their mukut, their beni and mukut, with the transcendental flowers and twigs from the trees of Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna build houses made of flowers, and they make beds made of flowers, which are collected from those trees. And then the divine couple, Radha Madhav, engage in enjoying amorous pastimes after eating the fruits of those trees and drinking the honey which is made from the flowers of those trees, honey wine, especially kusam, kadamba flowers, they mix with honey and water and let it ferment for a while, makes a tasty brew. It's called Madhvika nectar, Madhvika amrit. It's an intoxicating beverage that enlivens the senses and stimulates desire and creates all kinds of joyous sentiments in the dancing hearts of the gopis and Krishna alike. A good time is guaranteed for all. So it really helps to smooth out the pastimes to have a little honey wine. If you're Krishna. No one else is allowed to imitate their pastimes. This is chapter 5, verse 52 and 53. Remember, the theme of this discussion is obeisances to the trees of Vrindavan. Henitya nirvikara niratishaya guna nisprapancha sabhava nirdosha nitya mukta nigamagan samudgita divyanubhava anandapara samvidrasagana vapusha krishna bhavaika magnas tan vande srila vrindavana taru nikaran sarvasavartan datrin. I offer my humble obeisances to the transcendental Vrindavan trees, which are eternal, unchangeable, unique in qualities, fully spiritual, faultless, eternally liberated, ecstatic, full of knowledge. And those trees, their transcendental glories are always being sung by the Vedas, and these trees are absorbed in thought of Krishna. Krishna Bhav Magnas. Krishna Bhav Magnas. Ananda para samvidrasagana vapusha. And they award the highest goal of life to the people of the entire world. Sarva sarva arta datrin. Datrin. Tarunikaran. Trin, a teen locus, bur bhuvaswa. Datrin. They give sarvarta, all the, sarva sarvarta, all the possible desirable objectives and goals and wants can be attained simply from the Vrindavan Taru, Brinda Taru. And I offer obeisances to those beautiful trees of Vrindavan, which are so beneficial and so special and so unique. Vandevis are different classes of sakis that specialize in assisting Brinda Devi in her forest, adjusting the forest. Vandevis. But there's a large group. There's some immediate sakis and mandris that are also acting as Vandevis in appropriate leelas. And then there's the personification of the van itself. Each van has a presiding devi. Lohavan Devi, Madhavan Devi, Vrindavan Devi, Brinda Devi, Brinda Devi is Vrindavan. And then there's devis of the different seasons. Sharad Devi. You heard of Sharad? Sharad Ritu. Sharad is female word, Sharad. Sharad Ritu and Grishma. Grishma Ritu means hot season. Grishma, Sharad. Then Shirsha. Shirsha, I think. Shirsha. Shirsha means icy winter time. Shirsha. These are Sanskrit names. Shirsha Ritu Devi. And then there's Vasant. You heard of Vasant? This is also Vasant Ritu Devi. So the presiding devis of the different seasons who are residing in the forest. And then there's the sakis and mantris who do that seva. And then there's the Yadivasis, the Palinda women who are also van devis. They live in the forest and their devis are residing out there and collecting kasturi and kunkum and so many things for the seva of Radha Krishna. And wild flowers and fruits and they're preparing honey wine, also the mantris and sakis. And they collect gunja berries and then the mandris go and bargain and buy them from the Palinda women. Or they collect themselves. So these are different types of females that serve the Lord and Radharani and Krishna and the van devis. So that was 52 and this is 53. Divya neka vichitra pushpa fal varanamra shakan maha vistirnan paramotritan kagakule samrava kolahalan kirandran dalapalavais tata ito matali malakulan vande syandi maranda sandra susiran rinatavi shakina Snyandi Maranda Sandra Sudan. I worship the transcendental trees of Vrindavan, which are bending with the heavy weight of transcendental flowers and fruits, expanded branches, and they're very tall, and there's so much beautiful musical sounds coming from the branches and leaves of those trees that are full of excited birds, like parrots and cuckoos and titibuds. And these trees are so rich in their foliage, so thick with their leaves and twigs, that sun rays do not even penetrate the canopy of their branches to reach the ground. So it becomes, it's, even in the daytime, it's nighttime inside the kunjas. The kunjas is nighttime, even in the daytime. Nighttime means no sun. Because kunja leelas are hastya leela. Nibrita Nikunja Leela, Nibrita, solitary, private. The sun is not invited. The sunshine is not invited there. Moonshine is welcome. Moonshine is described as passing through the filter of trees and dancing on the floor. You can read it in Anandamrtam and Champu. Moonlight is invited to Kunja Leela, but sunlight is not. So in the daytime in the Leelas, there's no sun, it's dark. You know, wherever you go in a dark forest, they say. The forest is dark, richly foliated. These trees are agitated by the flying, humming bees. And these trees supply ever-increasing mellows of nectarine love of God. Susudan. Maranda, Sandra. Sandra means concentrated. Makaranda means pollen, nectar. Sudan means nectar. Ever-increasing mellows of nectarine love of God. The trees are very extraordinary and powerful entities. You hear from this handful of verses about worshipping them and offering obeisances to them. It's certainly a good thing to do. That's the conclusion. Have you hugged a tree today? Have you bowed down on the ground and put your head at the base of a tree and offered your prayers to the roots of the trees? Vrikshamul, Shravanam. It's explained in the Bhagavatam that trees hear, the ears of the trees are in their roots. They hear through their roots. So you have to lie on the ground in dandavats in front of your favorite kalpa vriksha trees and speak out your sankalpa and prayers to the Mother Earth, and hoping that that vibration will penetrate the earth and reach the root ears of the trees. Please bless me with ever increasing mellows of nectarine and love of God. Please bless me with ever-increasing mellows of nectarine and love of God. It's a nice thing to pray for. I bow down before the great trees of Vrindavan, which are filled with leaves and sprouts, maddened bees, tumultuous birds, streams of nectar, honey, and branches bow with many splendid, wonderful flowers and fruits. So this is another translation. I rather like the former than the latter. The trees supply ever-increasing mellows of nectarine love of God. This is a nice point. Matali malakulan. Mala. Kulan means mala. Tata ito matali. Ali means bees. Mata means mad. Maddened bees are surrounding all those flowers. Those mala of kulan, all those groups of flower malas. It's actually explained in Govinda Leelamrita that the trees, when the gopis go to pick flowers, not all the time, but sometimes, when they go to pick flowers, the garlands are just hanging in the trees. They go to a mogra tree, and the mogra tree or mogra bush or say a rose bush or whatever, or in the trees of Vrindavan, Kadamba trees, and they say, "Oh, Sakhi, look, there's garlands there." And they have, so whatever, the garlands are hanging in the branches, and they simply lift them up and put them in some special little basket, keep them fresh, a little moist, thin, moist cloth they put over them. And they whisk them off to the kunja where Radha and Krishna are enjoying. And when the appropriate time comes, they offer them a fresh garland. And Radharani says, "Oh, Sakhi, oh, Manjari, it's such a beautiful garland you made." "Yeah, yeah, I made this nice garland." But actually, the tree made the flowers, and the tree strung the flowers, and the tree made the garland, and the tree did everything. So that's why it says, third line, tat ito matali malakulan. So mala means flower garlands, and ali means bees, and mata means mad. And kula means there's lots of them, like guru kula, there's groups of them. There's families of them. Your kula, what's your kula, like they say. So there's families, there's lots of them. Many trees have many, many garlands. And the bees are going crazy. Alis are going completely crazy, buzzing all around those malakulan. All those groups of garlands hanging from the trees, and bees are just buzzing. So fragrant, so much nectar oozing from these sweet, colorful flowers. They're going crazy. And buzzing like mad bees. So let us close on that prayer. We fall at the base of the trees. We offer our obeisances, and we pray that they will bless us with the opulences. They have so much sampad, but the main sampad that we're hankering for is we beg them to supply us and grant us and give us the highest goal of life, which is to be absorbed in the ever-increasing mellows of nectarine love of God and the service of Radha Govinda Yugal and the groves of Vrindavan. Vrindavan Mahimamrita Ki Jai.